There are plenty of seats up front. Come on in, come on in. As people are still coming in, we gather today in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. With the psalmist, we proclaim, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I want to welcome one and all, special welcome to any guests among us. There are some connection cards in your pew. We'd love for you to fill those out and turn those back in to an usher or the offering plate, and we'd love to have your information and give you some more information about the church and about our family of faith here. It's also a place, if you have a certain prayer request, you can put those on those cards as well. As we concluded our Lenten series this last week, in the middle of Holy Week, it's time now we look ahead. We've got a couple of Bible studies coming up, and so there's a couple of sign-up sheets. Tobias has one Wednesday mornings, Pastor Steve, Tuesday at noon. I will be starting one, not this week. Well, I'm in my last one, so I'll have a new one coming up on the book of Esther in a couple of weeks here as well. So some sign-up sheets in the back if you'd like that. Also, a new member retreat next weekend. So for anybody that's looking to find out more information or would like to join the church, that happens next Sunday after the late service down in the fellowship hall. Please let us know so that we can prepare for that. Easter Monday, the office will be closed, but there are numbers listed. If you need to call any of us pastors for an emergency, please feel free to do so. Our special offering for April is for our Gillespie County volunteer fire departments, just to help guide them and thank them for all the work that they do. We are here to worship. It is Easter, so please rise as you're able as we begin our service this morning. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
A blessed Easter.
Blessed Easter.
Let us proclaim the truth of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yes, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Let us proclaim our faith as we sing. Passion of Christ and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And
also with you. As Easter people, we declare,
we believe
in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Jesus proclaims, "I am the resurrection and the life. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord.
So whether we live or whether we die, you are the Lord."
Do you believe this?
We are here today in faith to proclaim, we believe.
St. Paul emphatically stated, "O death, where is your victory?
O death, where is your sting?
Death has been swallowed up in victory." Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yes, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Pray. Heavenly Father, there is no gift greater than the deliverance you have granted us on that Easter morning. You raised your Son, defeated death, and delivered your people for all eternity. Lord, words fail us. There's nothing we can do to earn this gift, and yet you have given it freely out of love for us, your creation. As we celebrate this glorious Easter morning, keep us ever mindful of the price of our salvation, and fill us with joy, faith, and unwavering trust in the victory of Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated for our special music.
Great morning. This morning we stand at the moment where death itself is undone, in a display of divine power that shakes heaven and earth. Our Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Our reading is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And the fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The word of the Lord.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I don't think I'll ever get tired of hearing that, so let's do it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Please have a seat. This is so powerful when so many voices with so much enthusiasm speak these words. In fact, it's almost overwhelming when you stand up here and it just, you know, rolls over you. And I'll tell you something else that's overwhelming. Being at Jesus' tomb on Easter morning. Whether you're there because you're faithful and you come to take care of his body, or whether you're ordered to guard the grave like the soldiers, you're there. And suddenly, this happens. A giant earthquake shakes the ground. And I don't know if anyone has ever experienced an earthquake. I certainly hope not, but it is frightful. And I'm told it is one of the most frightening experiences a person can have. But that, on Easter morning, is only the beginning. While the ground is shaking so violently that stones, massive stones, are shifting, behind you, all of a sudden, an angel appears, dazzling, blinding. And then this celestial being starts to talk. Honestly, I understand why the Roman guards became like dead men. They were overwhelmed with fear. It's simply too much for them to take. And then there are these incredibly brave women. Not only did they dare to go to the grave of a convicted criminal who got sentenced to death, while the men who claimed to love him so much, they had fled long ago. But these women, in the midst of all this, earthquakes, angels, they do not become like dead men. They stand firm. They hear the angel. They encounter the risen Christ. And they respond as they should. They fall down at his feet and they worship him. The Son of Man, who has defied death, the risen Son of God, the bringer of salvation. How intense is that scene? How utterly epic. And if you've heard my sermons, you know I like epic. Like, epic is my thing. Earthquake, angel, resurrection. How completely unbelievable. Whoa, sorry. Bad word for a pastor. Unbelievable? Can I even say that? Isn't that dangerous? Well, if we're honest, if we look at all this, it is hard to believe, isn't it? Let's put it this way. I'd say Pastor Steve comes to me after a call that he's been out in the country, drove Ranch Road, X, Y, and Z, and he comes back and he says, so this unbelievable thing happened to me. I was out on this call, and on the roadside, I saw the Easter Bunny. Yeah, and not just that, there was a whitetail too, and they were dancing the polka and drinking beer. Now that is a German bunny. Yeah, but Steve insists. He insists. He says, believe me, it was totally crazy. And I wish I'd taken a picture, but I was so dazed. And unfortunately, no one was there to corroborate that story. So you just have to trust me. Well, my reaction probably be like something, bless your heart. Right? I speak Texan now. Yep. Bless your heart, but sorry, Pastor Steve, you'd have to prove that to me, right? And he said, whoa, no problem. I can prove it. I wrote it all down in a book, and I call it the Book of Steve. You can read it right here with illustrations. So it's true. Well, brothers and sisters, I think we can all agree that is not how this works. And it's certainly not how it worked for the Bible and for Matthew, because everything that we read about that is so unbelievable, that did not just happen on a road somewhere with one person witnessing. It happened in public. Guards were there. Visitors were there. The women were there. This was Jerusalem during Passover. The place was packed. They would not have missed an earthquake of that magnitude. So, you know, there were people that experienced all this. And when Matthew wrote his gospel, these people were still alive. And they would have come forward and they would have said, now, honestly, I read all this and it's being published everywhere. Like, these gospels, they spread. And the people would have said, no, I was there in Jerusalem in the year 36. It was a great Passover. And there was no earthquake. I saw there was no tomb. No, they would have done that. But they didn't. Nobody came forward. There are no other accounts that say, no. They are the authorities. The authorities had every reason to refute this story. They could have produced witnesses. They could have refuted the claims. They could have gotten all the historic records and be like, look at this. We wrote down all the earthquake. There was no earthquake. None of this ever happened. But the authorities did not do that. They didn't refute it. Why? Why did they not all get up against this message? Because, brothers and sisters, what happened on that day is true. The Apostle Paul writes in 1st letter to the Corinthians, he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then to more than 500 brothers at one time. And the apostles, all over the place, they themselves testify, St. John in 1 John, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands. Peter declares in Acts of the Apostles, we are witnesses. They put him to death, but God raised him on the third day. Well, now you may say to me, Pastor Tobias, Now you're just using the Bible to prove the Bible. That's not very scientific of you. That's just like the Book of Steve again and the Easter Bunny, you know? It's a circular argument. All right, I get it. And just because I believe that the Bible is true doesn't mean everyone has to believe that. So let's step outside of this biblical argument for a moment and use other arguments. Some people believe in science. Well, science has proven that there was significant seismic activity in the years AD 26 to 36 in the area around Jerusalem. So people witness to these earthquakes in historical documents, but also, you know, with modern scientific equipment. We can look at that era and say, all right, big earthquakes in Jerusalem. And here's something that is historically well attested, not just by the Bible. Jesus Christ was a real person. The apostles were real people. Even non-Christian sources of that time, like a Jewish historian called Flavius Josephus, who did not like Christianity, But he confirms the reality of this all. There's a Roman historian, Tacitus, who also did not like Christians. And he confirms that this movement existed at that time. And those apostles, these witnesses of the life, deeds, and resurrection of Christ, they were persecuted for what they said, for the message they brought into the world. All of them suffered persecution. All but one of them died proclaiming this message. Now, you've heard me ask this question before, but I ask it again and again. Who would die for a message that they knew was wrong? Who would die for a lie? Because they would know that it was a lie. But they did not deny it. Never. Not under pressure. Not under torture. They proclaimed it unto death. So what does this mean for us? It means, beyond any reasonable doubt, He is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen. Your Savior lives. And here's something crucial. Christianity, uniquely in all religions in this world, stakes everything on this one historical claim, the resurrection. Everything. St. Paul writes himself in the Bible, our holy book, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and we, of all people, are most to be pitied. Do you hear that? If the resurrection did not happen, this, all of this here, would be meaningless. This is the chink in our armor, the target on our backs. It is written in our own holy book, and people all through the ages have seen this. They know this. Everybody who's against Christianity, who's the enemy of Christianity for 2,000 years, has known that this argument would kill Christianity. All they had to do was produce a body, was produce credible evidence, was produce those witnesses that were there that could have said, no, we were there. This is not how it happened. But they could not produce this evidence. Not then and not now. Because Christianity is true. Your Savior has been raised. You are saved. Eternal life is real. And this means something else for you today. It means that whoever told you that a life without Christ can be truly meaningful life has not told you the truth. Because if Christ really lived, and if he truly rose from the dead, as we have established, then we can trust his own words, what he said about himself, and that is true too. And this is what he says. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you hear that? That is not a suggestion. That is not one option among many on the religious market. This is the way, the truth, and the life, which means this: a life without Christ may feel full for a time, but it cannot carry you through death. It cannot forgive your sin, and it cannot give you eternal life. But Christ can. Because he's already done what no one else can do. He has walked into death, and he's walked out of it. And now he stands before you, not as an idea, but as the risen Lord, calling you to trust him, to follow him, and to live. Brothers and sisters, this is the truth. Death does not have the final word over your life. Sin does not have the final claim over your soul. And whatever darkness you carry inside of you, it will not win. Because Christ is risen. The tomb was empty. Christ lives and he will come again. You are so blessed. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This is the truth. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Victorious Lord, we give thanks on this day that you broke forth from the grave and from the gate of death and opened to us the gift of forgiveness and that promise of eternal life. May we celebrate your victory every day of our lives, serving our neighbor in thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, it's because of your great love for us that you willingly went to the cross to pay the price of our sin and to free us from the bondage of sin. Help us to live each day as a new creation in Christ and rise with you through the waters of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy. O great physician, we pray for healing for any that are sick or ill, strength for those recovering or facing treatments or therapy, peace for those who may be struggling with relationships or even life itself. May the power of the resurrection breathe new life into all of us. Lord, in your mercy. Prince of Peace, this world is haunted by war, and many of our brothers and sisters have to celebrate this Easter while facing dangers and hardships. Protect them and remind them of your promise of eternal life and eternal peace. Lord, in your mercy. As we come to your table today, Lord, may we leave our sin and our struggles at the altar and come away with a renewed sense of purpose to serve you and one another and help one another in our journey of faith and invite others into this journey with us. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We turn to the great thanksgiving.
The Lord be with you, also with you. Lift up your hearts, we we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to You, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise You for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for He is the true Passover Lamb who gave Himself to take away our sin, who by His death destroyed death, and by His rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We are reminded it was in the night in which He was betrayed that our Lord Jesus took bread. When He had given thanks to God and had broken it, He gave it to His disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Again, after supper, He took the cup, and when He had given thanks to God, He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood, given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of Me." Now, Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and help us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'd like you to be seated. Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep in His grace now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of Your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom You have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Now may the Lord be above you to watch over you, beside you to guide you, underneath you to uphold you, and within you to give you that peace of God which passes all understandings. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We sing our closing hymn. We leave to live out God's call.
To save the lost and strengthen the saved.
May we go to be and make disciples. Remember, He is with you always.
Even till the end of time.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yes, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. God bless you in your week. Amen.